Welcome to the Endless. Did you want to do it?
Yeah. Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
That was a very spirited and good intro, Natasha.
Thank you.
Do you work in broadcast?
No, but I do some commercial work.
Yeah? What's the latest commercial you did?
I was on a Super Bowl commercial.
That's right, for the Planters peanut. Finally, your two greatest passions come together, peanuts and football.
I will say, football is something I've never understood, and I realized the other day, is it the only sport where they don't have a female version? There's not female football. And I think that's why it's the lowest sport.
Because there's not females giving each other only cognitive men, traumatic brain injury?
Only men would do it.
There's female flag football. They, in fact, one of the Super Bowl commercials was of a woman playing flag football.
Oh, I saw that. That looked kind of hot, actually.
Do you know what I found out recently about football?
What?
That they don't have a pipeline for new NFL players as much anymore, because all the parents very wisely are realizing that tackle football creates cognitive brain injury, and they're not putting their kid in Pop Warner anymore. So there's not going to be any more football players in 30 years.
Oh, no.
You know what else is?
That's awful.
You know what else is that's true about? Oh, are you an anti-sports person?
Also, it feels very American football.
It like is very
only
American.
Americans would be dumb enough to like let their kids be like get head injuries.
I don't know. Have you heard of rugby?
Yeah, that's English, right?
Yeah, they don't have it. They don't even have pads.
But are they throwing balls at each other's heads?
They are throwing balls at each other's heads. It sounds like you know the game of football pretty well.
I don't know. I remember dating a football player.
You dated a football player?
I cheated on someone with a football player.
Where'd you find this football player?
In my high school.
Oh, you cheated on someone with a high school football player?
So maybe I'm biased.
What position did he play?
Whatever like was the hottest guy.
That's quarterback.
Yeah, he was a quarterback.
You got with the high school quarterback.
Yes.
What?
I did.
Is that true?
Yes.
That is so ironic and weird, to be honest.
So maybe that's why
Do
I don't like
know
the
why
game.
It's ironic and weird?
Why?
Because I also, I did. I slept with a number of women in the football sort of organization. The cheerleaders.
You did not.
I fucked the entire cheerleading squad.
No cheerleader would have dated you in those wide leg pants you used to wear.
I didn't have wide leg pants then. That was after high school. This was when I was in high school at Oakland Tech, my final high school before I got my GED. I slept with every cheerleader at the every bulldog, they were called the Oakland Tech Bulldogs. Ruff ruff.
Well, I never. It was very off brand for me to sleep with the quarterback.
How was it?
Was
it passionate?
No.
No.
No, I realized that, oh, right. This is why I don't like football players.
You realized this is why I don't like football players?
Well, we just didn't quite like have a lot in common.
You and the quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were like in musical theater?
Yeah.
And listening to Morrissey?
Yeah.
And he was into like...
Football.
Passes?
Yeah. Wait, why is the quarterback the hot one all the time?
That's just the way it is. I don't know. He's
why?
The leader. He's the leader of the pack. You ever seen Top Gun? Top Gun Maverick?
Here's the problem with movies.
Okay, you don't want to answer that question?
Was Top Gun Maverick the one that just came out?
Mm-hmm.
No, Moshe, I've never seen that.
Well, it's all about the leader of the pack.
Is the first Top Gun about that?
It is as well. And both of them are Maverick.
Have you noticed that movies that, as a parent, movies you think about from the 80s that you think would be charming to show your kid, then you show them to them and you're like, what? I did not remember this movie.
Gremlins you're talking
about? Last night we played Gremlins because our daughter was like talking like I was like, are you a gremlin? She's like, what's that?
And then she talks a bit like a gremlin, doesn't she?
And then I played it for her. I played her the whatever it's called.
The trailer.
She's like, oh, this movie must have just come out because this is the trailer. I was like, yeah. Because anytime there's like a movie from the past, I try to show her because it's just edited more slowly and I feel like it's better for her brain. So I played it for her last night, but there was like a mom walking around with a knife. I mean, it was not good.
What do you mean? That's evidence that it's not good?
No, it just was like scary. Like, I don't remember it being like a horror movie.
When did you turn into... First of all, you didn't remember Gremlins was a horror movie?
I thought it was like Ewok. I don't know. I was thinking like, oh, they're just cute little things.
Well, how did you become like a church mom? I don't understand. A woman with God. A knife and a...
Well, 10 minutes before bed, it's like...
A puppet. An unbelievably unrealistic puppet going like, hey, feed me after midnight is like too much trauma for you to expose our child to?
It was definitely funny what they looked like, because they truly looked like stuffed animals. Well, that, like, Steven Spielberg was maybe like holding up a stuffed animal.
You think he was doing the puppeteering?
That's how bad like things used to look.
I showed our child recently Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and she kind of liked it, honestly.
You did not.
I did. Well, you were out of town. I did, yeah. She thought it was funny. She's like, Freddy, is Freddy coming to get me?
Did you really show her that, Moshe?
No, I did. But she was like, is Freddy going to get me in my dreams? Am I going to die if I die in my dream, Daddy? And I was like, this is probably just a movie. Like, that's kind of a fun game that I play with her, like sarcasm, you know, that she doesn't quite get. So I go, it's probably just a dream. Freddy might not kill you tonight. And she thought it was so funny that she kind of like went still and stopped talking for a while and was like shaking like she was cold. It was kind of a fun area.
All right. Well, speaking of fun areas, why don't we take a call, Moshe?
That sounds like a great idea. Our first caller this afternoon, evening, wherever it is, whatever, whenever it is that you're listening, is none other than Jeff.
Jeff. None other than Jeff from Ontario.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
You want to know? I just had the most frustrating thing happened to me. I found out that I was subscribed to girlswitharmpithairthatfart.com for over 5 years, and I haven't checked that site out in at least a week and a half.
Oh, good for you, honey.
But now I canceled it. I'm saving money.
Listen, laugh if you want, but I just unsubscribed to maybe 20 different things I had no idea I was subscribed to.
How did you find out? How did you unsubscribe?
From Rocket Money.
Rocket Money. They've saved us so much money.
Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place.
Yep. The average person has around 12 paid subscriptions. Think about that. If you think you've only subscribed to a handful of services, you might want to double check. Because with Rocket Money, you can quickly identify and cancel those unwanted bad boys.
Yeah, you know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Like, I was subscribed to 2 different Criterion channels. I had 2 different passwords.
And how many of the movies did you watch?
Half of Claire's Knee.
Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/honeymoon.
That's rocketmoney.com/honeymoon.
rocketmoney.com/honeymoon. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Now, you're a dank smoker, right?
I like a little bit of dank.
Now, have you ever smoked so much dank that you get a little too...
danked up?
Yeah, a little too danked out or up, either one.
Yes, and that's why I like to choose dadgrass.
Basically, it's weed that you smoke that doesn't get you too stoned because it's low in THC, high in CBD. It mellows you out without frying your freaking brain, reefer madness style.
All dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, dadgrass will leave you in an euphoric mood.
They got flower, they got joints, they got gummies, they got tinctures. And right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeymoon.
Go to dadgrass.com/honeymoon for 20% off your first order.
That's dadgrass.com/honeymoon. Now, do not go to daddank.com because that doesn't exist. Jeff, what's happening?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Lot of cork going on behind you. Are you some sort of animator, illustrator? What's your deal?
Yeah, I do like freelance stuff. I've done some podcasty stuff.
Ah, you're a man after my own heart. Wait. I've done some podcasting stuff too.
Wait, that's why you have cork?
For sound.
Just like art. Like, I've done the art for like a few people's podcasts.
Okay. You don't want to drop any names, huh?
I don't know. I feel like if I do it, I'll reveal myself.
Okay, don't reveal yourself. That. But reveal your emotional life. How can we help?
I have been seeing a girl for a couple months, and I'd like to break it off, but I've never done it before.
You've never broken up with someone?
No. I know. It seems I've usually been the dumpy. Mm.
I see.
And how have you... What's the best way you've ever been dumped?
People usually do it through text.
Well, that's your favorite way of being dumped?
I think maybe just because I prefer that's the way I'd like to do it.
Yeah, I don't think.
He's like, the most pleasant way I've ever been dumped. Well, it didn't feel good, but I did like the strategy of slowly stopping contact with me until I was left in a state of sort of confusion and kept texting her saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And she never spoke to me again.
There's a few things that you absolutely should not do. One is have sex with them one last time.
Oh, that's good.
Which makes it hard to see them in person if that it ends up like that. So I think that a phone call is maybe a nice middle ground between text and seeing them in person.
I gotta say, and maybe this is just me and Jeff really connecting on a dick to dick level. I would always prefer a text.
What?
Always.
No, Moshe, I'm sorry, you're just showing your immaturity.
Well, I could be. I'm just
saying. Would you like me to tell you that I'm breaking up with you through text?
To divorce me through text? I think it's a slight different thing than old Jeff over here, the podcast playboy, just ending something that's been going on for a couple months. Hear me out. Here's why. I don't want to deal with the awkwardness of being rejected in real time. I want to be rejected and have the space to go retreat and process the information without having to like sit on the phone and go, oh, well, this is pretty sudden. Jeff, I thought we had something good going on. That whole process sounds awful to me.
It is awful and it sucks. And like, but here's the thing. If you break up with her via text, she's going to tell all her friends that you broke up with her via text, and that's going to make you look bad. And I just think like a phone call.
I got a great idea.
What?
How about this, Jeff? How about this? An email in which he breaks it off with
her. Email works.
He breaks it off with her, but in the email he says, if you would like to talk about this on the phone, I'm willing to do that. And to talk through this with you if you need some closure or some version of that. This whole idea, by the way, Jeff, I don't know if we talked about this before. I'm sure we have. This whole idea of closure, it's such bullshit. I just reject the whole... You think she's going to be heartbroken, Jeff? Or is she going to be bye, Jeff?
Tell us the highlights of the relationship. How long has it been? Why are you breaking up? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's been like two and a half, three months.
Okay, not long.
Things were like really fun at first, and we were like, I felt like there was some substance, but now it just feels like it's like gone to like just talking about how like we like each other or whatever. It's like, or that's what it was at least.
We get it. There's someone else you want to fuck.
No, really. I wish there was. There's not. There's nobody.
There's nobody.
You just feel like it feels like there's no there. Like you're kind of like, oh,
yeah.
I can't imagine myself sitting around with this girl. Like maybe you just don't have enough in common, you know? And I think I don't think you need to tell her any of that. Do you guys have plans to see each other in the future?
Yeah, I'm supposed to see her on the weekend.
And does she check her email?
No, we like text like daily though. Like I've kind of been like backing it off a bit.
I don't think an email. If you're a daily texter, I don't think an email is gonna do.
What about a text that says, "Hey, do you have a second to talk?" And then, I mean, have you guys ever talked on the phone? I know you're young.
Yeah, we have.
You have. Okay.
You know what a phone is, right? Like you know the function of the phone where you can actually hear the person's voice and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's an addendum.
I'm really urging you to speak with them.
I think so. If you're daily texters, I think the thing is you might have to make the phone call. And I think Natasha's idea of sending a pretext saying, "Hey, I need to talk to you about something. Do you have some time to talk on the phone?" So that she's not blindsided, so that she's ready. You know, and like with that, like maybe a video of you swiping through Tinder, for context, so that she can prepare herself.
Wait, hold on though. Let's see here. Like, all right, let's do a little bit of role play. Okay. Now, if you say to her, she's like, "Yeah, I can talk in 5. You call her and say.
So Natasha will be your girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see what you're going to say.
And I'll be her husband. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Some cuckery.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, I miss you, honey. I love you.
Oh, that's great.
No, don't say that script.
Jeff, you're out. You're out, brother.
He needs a script.
Oh, that's great. Listen, I don't think this is working out. Okay.
Here, you just have to say something like, listen,
I need to talk to you about something. Once you say I need to talk to you about something, your work is done. You've already broken up with her.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about us, and I am feeling like I am not feeling, can he say ready for a relationship? Or is that a lie? Because I always go to lies, but I do think you need a script and you just need to keep repeating the script and then you need to allow silence on the line.
Natasha's theory is never tell a truth when a lie will do.
That's mine too.
I don't think that you need to tell a lie here. This one's easy.
Well, you don't want to say the truth, which is like, I think that you're kind of like,
right, what do they say? Deep. Honesty, when not coupled with compassion, is brutality. So all you have to do is be as honest as you need to be. Mm. But without all this like wishy-washy language to preserve feelings just allows the person to have a little nugget of hope. With the vagary of language, mm-hmm. they can grab onto it and go, oh, maybe. So instead of saying like, I'm just not really ready for a relationship, they get to hear, but maybe someday I will. You just say something very simple like, hey, listen, I need to talk to you about something serious. I think you're a great person, but for me, this isn't working for me right now, and I just don't feel like I'm compatible to date you right now.
Is there someone else?
No, I just need to be single.
Well, what about, weren't we going to hang out on Saturday? We could still hang out as friends.
And I just feel like that's not a good idea for me, and I'm going to say...
Well, but you told me that you liked me.
I do like you. I think you're a great person, but I don't feel romantically toward you right now.
What do you mean romantic?
I just don't... I need you to get your shit and get the fuck out of my life.
I'm just saying, though, like, you got to be prepared for some back and forth. I don't know this girl's personality. Sounds like she doesn't really have one. But, you know.
I just think being clear. You know, hey, it's me. It's Jeff. It's Jeff, the podcast producer, art man. You know me, baby. It's me, old Jeff.
And you just
kind of want you to know that I've had such a nice time with you. But the more I think about us as a couple, it's just not quite working for me. It's nothing to do with you. And just it has to do with the way that I feel. And I feel like it's not going to work. And I would love to go forward and just have pleasant memories of our relationship. The whole thing about friends. I mean, it's just like nobody.
You could try to not say that. And then like also don't be afraid to stop talking. Because it's like I said, there's never a good time to do a bad thing. She's going to be upset. She's going to say stuff. She might get mad. She might hang up on you. She might start crying. She could do anything. You know, she might like hold you to something you said. She might be like, well, we already bought tickets to blank, you know. So I think you've got to allow yourself to do just what you're doing now. Just breathe. Wait for her to finish talking. Be okay with a little silence, because that's my thing. I'm always afraid of the silence. So I'll be like, oh, but wait, I'm going to be friends, or I'll still fuck you, or whatever it is, you know? But I think that you just have to be strong, write it out beforehand, make it very simple. And I think the thing to repeat is just, yeah, it's just like, I think you're... you know, it has nothing to do with you. I'm just not...
Even that's not quite true. Right. I just feel like being... honest without oversharing.
What are the three things he can just repeat?
That this isn't working for me. I don't think we're compatible. And
why?
I because it's just the way that I'm feeling right now. I just don't feel that way about you anymore. And that's just...
Don't blame it on the pandemic.
The pandemic? I feel like it's a bit late to blame it on the pandemic.
Wait, hold on. Our producer has something to say.
Oh, Laura's chiming in and saying, our producer has some thoughts here. She says, don't say the words right now. And I think she's right.
Because then they're like, okay,
what about right later?
Can I give you 2 weeks?
Right. Yeah. So I, you know.
You watch that on a TikTok, Laura?
Don't say right now. No, but I think here, you were talking, Natasha, about what your weakness is, which is not wanting the silence to be there.
Which is going to be, because it's going to be awkward and she's going to be taking it all in.
My weakness, and I'm betting it's yours too, Jeff, because I feel like all guys share this who aren't total sociopaths. Is I want to be able to do something emotionally difficult, but not be thought of as an asshole. Like, that's my obsession. I don't want anybody to think I'm one of the bad guys, but I'm doing a thing that's going to be difficult. And so that's the reason I feel like a lot of people do this equivocating language when they're breaking up is not, it's in order that they can leave while the person will still think that they're really nice. And the truth is, there's a way to be nice without being disingenuous. And I think that way is to just be really clear, like, this isn't working for me. I'm not feeling romantic. And I just feel like we should end things. But I think you're great. without any like little teasy kind
of. And she starts crying and you say, I'm sorry. But you don't, you try to resist the urge to say, I'm here for you if mm-hmm. you need me.
Because I'm not here for you.
Because here's the thing.
This phone call is about me not being here for you anymore.
And here's the thing. You're so cute and it's what's best for her. It's what's best for you. You could totally draw this out for 3 more months.
That is the way that I always think about breakups, by the way.
I'll do it 6 years. That's usually my play.
That's bad.
I'll just stay.
I always think of breakups in the same way, which is like you're doing them a favor. You are getting rid
of... Don't say this.
No, but this is something to think about when you approach it. You are getting rid of a barrier to them finding their ultimate destiny by getting out of their way. So there's nothing inconsiderate or uncool about breakups, no matter when they occur, no matter when they happen. I mean, there is some kind of bad timing, like maybe not right as they're about to receive like their Academy Award, or you whisper in their ear like, I don't think this is working, but like there's never a good time, but it's always good for them to get out of their life because you don't like them. Would you want to date someone that didn't like you? No, it's a waste of your fucking time and life energy. You would. Yeah. Jeff's like, I would.
And you can just smile and maybe you can just repeat, I'm sorry. It's just not working for me. Like not every time she comes, she's going to come at you like 5 different ways possibly. So it's like, instead of being like, well, have a different thing for each thing, you can just keep repeating like, I'm sorry. It's just not working for me. And
do you think you can do it? Or are you going to send a text instead?
I'm just going to text her. No, I'll do it.
You know
no,
what?
You should, because here's no, but here's what'd you say?
Maybe not today.
Well, no, here's the today. Thing. Look do at it
that.
Today.
Look and at that wry smile.
He's
on
so
Jeff.
Cute.
He's going to find
thing.
Somebody else.
Do it today, because if you look at your time, it's probably going to be like a 5-minute phone call. She's going to be pissed. And a text, you're going to just go back and forth texting all day long, and there won't be any closure. And you'll do screenshots and ask friends what you should say. And I can't believe you did this via text. We've been together for so, you know, it's like, why not just nip it in the bud? It's not in person. In person, now that's hard.
Okay.
Because you can't look at your notes. You can't laugh. You can't roll your eyes. You can't do your thing.
Does
you
he
can't
need to
clean.
Make notes?
I'm just saying what I would do.
Okay, because here's what I was thinking.
It's a cheat sheet.
There is a text you should send, and it's a text that you should send. I would even encourage you to send it right now on the podcast.
Ooh.
It's a text that you send where you say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Do you have some time? You don't. If you,
what if she texts back, are you breaking up with me?
Then he writes back, let's talk. Or he writes back.
Because what if he could get out of the phone call?
Then he writes back, that is what I want to talk. Then he writes back.
I'm trying
that
to
is,
get him out of this phone call.
Then he writes back. That is what I want to talk to you about. I mean, honesty isn't bad, but I think sending the text that puts you on the hook, because if you wait, it's just so uncomfortable. I could see you getting to the weekend, just be like, oh, I'll just hang out with her, and then you sleep with her again, and now you're a bigger dick. You send the text, and then you've put yourself on the hook,
and then you're back on the market, baby.
Yeah, with that smile and those art skills. Oh, somebody's going to snatch you up real quick. Natasha's called you cute like 17 times during this call alone.
He's so cute.
That's 18. Oh. We're up to 18.
Listen, dump her ass.
Yeah, dump her ass. For her sake.
And give her a call. Do it. Don't text. Right, just because that's what everybody else does doesn't mean that's what you should do. And like no girl's going to get sympathy from her friends by saying like, can you believe he called me and broke up with me? But like texting, it just sucks. You know, it's like a robot's broke up. It's like AI or something.
I will tell you though, for personally, I'd take a text breakup over a phone call any day.
That's because you've never had a relationship.
I'm in a relationship with you.
Yeah. And you would not want me to text.
I wouldn't want
you
to call me either. If you called me, that would be.
What would you prefer?
For you and me?
Yeah.
Probably two attorneys. That's what I'd prefer. And I get cutie.
No!
All right, Jeff, good luck.
She's on her deathbed. All right. Bye,
let
Jeff.
Us know how it goes. Stay in touch.
Do
tell
it,
us
honey.
Everything.
All right, cool.
Okay.
I'll let you know. Thank you, guys.
Okay, good luck. He is cute. It makes me angry.
I can't believe you're telling people to text break up with
me. I didn't say that. I said very clearly I would prefer it. In a 2-month relationship, I would prefer a text breakup. Because I don't need your help to get closure. That's an illusion that people tell themselves in order to reestablish connection. That whole thing where they go, I want closure. What they really want is another conversation with the person. If I need closure, I can find it on my own. I don't need some other person to give me closure. What's wrong with me? I'm incapable of finding closure on my own. What if the person got hit by a train? Well, then what do? I wander through the wilds of the earth.
Here's the problem with your idea.
It's not my idea. It's my preference.
Your preference, like when you're looking at it from someone else's situation, it kind of seems like, you know, a lot of times when a guy wants, or anyone wants to break up, it's not a guy. Anytime anyone wants to break up with someone, it's a lot of times the other person really likes them. So she might, and that might be one of the reasons why they want to break up. Because he even said, she's always like, I love you so much. So she might be like a little fixated on him. And we've all been there.
Absolutely.
So anyone who's having these kind of feelings for someone and they're feeling it so much. Like I remember dating guys and I was like, I hate the day. I just wanted it to be nighttime so I could see them. Like that's how obsessed I was. No. And that's how obsessed I was.
So quick on the draw with the no.
So it is more hurtful to hear them say it, but a text just makes you feel like, wait, is my whole life a lie? How could this just be, how could they do this so easily?
I don't understand how the phone call helps me. Me, I wouldn't want it personally. I hate that conversation where I'm like unwilling to accept the reality I've arrived at, but I'm trying to negotiate silently. I mean, how undignified.
Maybe a letter. You know how I've been broken up that was really pretty?
Anytime you get a letter these days from a lover, you're getting broken up with.
A card with a beautiful poem or message, and then they're just like, goodbye.
Bye.
So it's like a Robert Frost poem
and then the word bye written underneath it in crayon? From quarterback Steve?
Then you have something to remember it by.
Did the quarterback break it off with you?
No.
He didn't do a clean break?
No, I had a boyfriend at the time.
Yeah. Oh, you stayed with the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Did you ever break up with him?
No, Moshe. He's still my boyfriend.
Well, how did you do it?
Well, that guy I dated for a really long time, like 5 years or something.
How'd you break it off?
He eventually ended up breaking up with me.
How'd he do it?
He started dating another woman.
You talk a lot of shit about how much experience I do or don't have in the dating field, but a lot of yours is really littered with infidelity and unhealthy situations. So yeah, I'm kind of ahead of the game.
It's called experience.
It's called toxic experience.
Well, and whatever it is, it's experience.
Well, Natasha, I'm impressed. And I hope you and Jeff have a long and beautiful future together.
Thank you.
Should we do another call?
Yeah.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Now that we have a child, have you ever thought about what would happen if we both perished in a fiery car accident?
Every day.
And our child was sitting there going, where's my money? Well, might I suggest getting a life insurance policy to get that child paid? And might I suggest if you do it with Fabric Life Insurance by Gerber Life.
Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric's new lower prices could mean potentially significant savings over other providers with great quality policies, like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. My dad just died. He left me life insurance. And you know what? I'm rich now.
You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. The people that brought you baby food are now bringing you life insurance. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/honeymoon.
That's meetfabric.com/honeymoon.
Here we go. Oh, sorry.
That's meetfabric.com/honeymoon. M-E-E-T. Oh, right. It's not meat fabric. That's why they want you to spell it out.
Honey, I love your meat fabric.
Fabric.com/honeymoon.
Now, for my favorite part of any ad that we do for this podcast, I'm going to read the terms and conditions. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Why don't we call Elizabeth in New York City?
Oh, yeah. Where did Jack live? Ontario?
Jeff, his name
Jeff?
Is
Jeff. Is that why he was so sweet?
Well, we don't know if it was Ontario, California or Ontario, Canada.
Ooh.
He did vaguely have a Canada vibe.
Canada vibe,
must
for
have been
sure.
That, yeah. Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Now, Elizabeth.
We see your radiator behind you.
That's a real New York radiator.
Very New York.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Landlords are scum kind
are
of a thing, right?
Are you in your kitchen, bathroom,
I actually like my
room?
Landlord.
Ah, I like it. Hey, are we allowed to say your last name? You don't. You can
my
say
last
no.
name?
You can say no.
No.
Okay.
What's your last name?
We can't say. But
why? How do you even know
listen,
her last name?
I can't say because the bit I was going to do based upon it, it's just it would give away what the last name is, and so therefore,
oh, you saw it on her screen.
I'm not going to be able to say that we're talking to Elizabeth Rockefeller, ladies and gentlemen, and why she has that small of a radiator, being from that kind of money, is difficult to understand. Elizabeth, how are you, and how can we help you?
I'm good. It's really nice to meet you guys.
You too.
Nice to meet you.
Even though you rebuffed my advances on destroying your anonymity and making fun of your last name, I'm still going to say it's nice to meet you.
I feel like I could predict what the joke would be.
Is that really your last name?
What?
My name, but...
No. Now the mystery is too much for our listeners. We got to move on from this topic because they're going to be
true.
Like, what
you're
is
right,
that
you're
last...
You're right, you're right, you're right.
Anyway, what is up, Miss Knowles?
Okay, so I'm coming in with a bit of a question. So this is my bit of vulnerable context background. It's that I come from a really conservative Christian background. And because of that, they're weird about sex. I'm 31, still a virgin. I didn't really want to end up here, but this is where I've landed. And I definitely don't anymore in my life hold to no sex before marriage ethic at all, but I'm still trying to figure out where I land in the zone. So recently I've been dating a lot, which has been fun and also fine. But I met someone I really liked, kind of hit it off immediately. And on our third date, invited me back to his place. And I was kind of like, let's set some expectations. I'm figuring it out, but I kind of don't really want to sleep with you unless there's some kind of commitment. And he basically was like, that's not my vibe. I've had open relationships in the past. Exclusivity is not something I'm looking for. So we had a super respectful conversation about it. We sort of were disappointed. We didn't align more. But sort of agreed to be friends. And at the end of that night, he was like, just so you know, as you figure things out, if you ever change my mind, you can always let me know. Leaving the door open, you're interested in casual. So ever since then, I've been heavily considering it, mostly because I just don't
pop that cherry.
Now,
yeah.
Natasha, if I said, if I were to say something like that to our esteemed guest here,
well,
I would be labeled a piglet.
This is the perfect guy because she likes him. He's probably good in bed and he's not going to even care probably if you tell him you're a virgin. You could tell him after.
Does he know, by the way?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, that was basically my question was, should I just go for it? Should I keep holding out, wait for something a little more secure?
I mean, part of me thinks okay, this guy has already told you who he is. He's going to be playing the field. You are 31-year-old virgin. Next year, you could be a 32-year-old virgin. Next the year after that, you could be a 33. I'm not saying that's bad. And I've definitely known women in your position. And it kind of happens. And
by which we mean no position.
No.
You have not done any of the positions.
The years just kind of start to accumulate. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Next thing you know, you could be.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Right. So it's you have this guy. He's cute. You like him. Yeah, you might get some feelings for him, but maybe there's a way to frame it so you're kind of using him too. And also, because he's told you this is casual, you don't really owe him any explanation. This is a perfect place in my mind for you to practice sex based, if it's cool and if you like it and if he's respectful and, treats you well. But I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? Wait for a guy you super, super, super like, and then you got to tell him that you're, I just feel like there's a way to get this weight off your shoulders. I don't know. Am I wrong, Moshe?
I have some thoughts. I have a lot. I've thought about this specific situation a lot. Your specific situation, because I've been tracking you for a while. No, but I've had a number of friends in my life who were in your position, which is to say that they were virgins a little bit longer than is societally expected, right? And what I noticed about those
men or women?
I think actually both. Yeah, both. And what I noticed about those people, and I wonder if this is true for you, is that the person that you're going to or going to not sleep with is one category of decision, but then the actual losing of the virginity becomes this other thing, which is almost looms over the ability and casts this fog on the ability to have a regular romantic life, because you're like, I've got this secret and I've got to lose it. I've got to, or not lose it. I'm going to be a virgin.
And no one feels good enough or something, feels enough.
It just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger because you're an adult and you're a grown woman. And now it's like, now it's this monolith that you carry with you onto every date, which is this like, lumbering kind of like, you almost feel like it's flashing above you when you're on a date and like just virgin here, virgin here. So separating those things out, right? Like, I mean, I would never want to pressure you or advise you to do something that would violate your ethical code, because if your ethical code is telling you, no, I want to only be with someone with whom I have an emotional connection, then I say, listen to that and try to get a hold of like lessening the anxiety around, being, because I guarantee, right, Elizabeth, you're also thinking, will I be any good at it? Will I be awful at it? Will I be like a child when, I mean, there's got to be so much stuff. And so I think my first instinct is what Natasha's saying. Oh, here you go. You got this opportunity for this like, feminist fuck boy in Williamsburg who's like, yeah, you can use him the way he's using you. You want casual? I want to get this weird neon sign that I feel like I carry in my psyche out of my life. So the next person I meet, I won't be the virgin. I'll be just me, and I'll be able to interact with that person on a more oxygenated level.
Because it is a lot for a guy to take in, maybe, but I also think this fuckboy might like it. He might think it's hot, And I don't know that you tell him before, but you could tell him after, and you're not betraying anything because... And also, you have a perfect excuse. It's not that no one would fuck you. It's that you
wouldn't fuck no one.
You were raised in a kind of over-the-top way, and it just sort of happened, And everyone knows that there's like a Christian right situation happening.
I mean, the truth is, how many people... First of all, you fucked up when you stopped being Christian, because those are the only people in America that get to have like the special virginity loss situation. Mm-hmm. You know what percentage of people that lose their virginity in a more kind of like classic teenage dating way are like, wow, that was really special? It's like zero. Yeah. It's like no one's enjoyed it. Nobody was like, wow, I fucking nailed it on that one. Like it's just, so I think.
And you're attracted to him, which is nice because. Sometimes that doesn't always happen.
Totally. I have a question for you. Do you think you would be capable of enjoying yourself with this person, having a good time physically? Or would you be so like, okay, is it over? Is it over? Like, do you think you'd be capable of finding a way to make it be pleasurable? Because that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one that I think about a lot, because I would like to think yes. I think the advantage of being a little bit older, even if I am still a virgin, is I feel more like integrated with my body. I'm able to be a little more present. The sort of like risk of just having a totally dissociative experience is much less,
right?
Which is good. But I think that's part of the fear of sort of engaging, especially with someone who is just like, hot in the sex zone, where it's his bread and butter, is the fear of like, well, what if something I'm not expecting happens? Uh-huh. Is what if I think it'll be great? What if I think I can feel free and experience the pleasure? And then in the moment, that's not what happens, and I panic or something happens.
But
that's sort of the fear of like, then if it's casual, he doesn't owe me anything either, so he doesn't necessarily have to care for my feelings in those moments.
I think
if that happens, it's a risk.
I have a thought about what you're saying specifically. Again, this is easy for me to say because I haven't experienced what you've experienced. But this guy says he's poly. Is that right? Or is he just like kind of a slut player guy? Which would your vibe on
him? Just kind of a slut, I would say.
Because I almost think that the middle ground between... I'm not advising you one way or the other because I don't feel comfortable with that. But the middle ground between don't do it and do it and don't tell him and just hope that you kind of like, it'll all be okay.
You think tell him first?
There is a world in which you call him and say, you know, I thought a lot about your offer and I'm actually down, but I want you to know I've not done that before. And so I would need you to be gentle with me and understanding if I have, he might, by the way, bail.
That might scare him.
It might scare him. And I think that's okay.
For
that,
sure.
That's why.
Has it scared any men in the past?
Well, because I've only ever dated Christian men, it was kind of a non-topic.
Right.
I see.
But that's,
I think that's what's also new.
I'm actually suggesting it. And again,
you could also tell him you're only 24.
Tell him you're 14.
That ship has sailed.
No, but I honestly think that the odds of him being scared off are actually, that's actually, you could look at that as a negative. It could be very much a positive. If he gets scared off,
he wasn't the right one to
do it.
He
guaranteed wasn't going to be the guy that was going to stop and hold you if you got uncomfortable or
talk
you through.
I think he's going to be into it.
He might be into it. He might be like, oh, wow, what an opportunity. That sounds great. Or he might go, oh, that's too much. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And it wasn't because I didn't think I'd be able to. You want to hear how pathetic I am? I didn't want to live in someone's memory for the rest of their life. Virgin scared me because I didn't want to like be I'll remember the person who I lost my virginity to for the rest of my life. And I always thought that was like a scary idea that I would like loom in their mind for forever.
Does he know that your parents are super conservative and that you grew up that way?
No, we
haven't really,
talked about that.
Listen to you
all.
When you talk.
I know. There's somebody out there that almost sounds better because he almost a little bit sounds maybe like not the coolest.
But what if he's into it?
I just think.
And here's the thing that she said that I like, or maybe you said this, Moshe. If you phrase it to him in a way like, you know, it would actually really help me because then when I finally meet the guy that I want to be with, you know, I could use you a little. Like, it's like you're using him, you know, that kind of language, that kind of attitude towards it might feel right.
Yeah. I think if you decide to do this, I more and more my gut is telling me that if you decide to do this, the idea of you like putting a knife between your teeth and just like going in like you're a soldier, like, okay, fuck it, we'll see what happens in the bedroom is a bad move. You're setting yourself up to freak out. And if you go in and you say, hey, just so you know, I've never done that before, but I'm just what Natasha's saying, I think you'd be a great person to help me figure this stuff out if you feel like you could be patient with me and then you're either A, giving yourself a parachute for when you go in for if you do freak out, he already knows why and you don't need to feel like I'm a freak, there's something wrong with me, or B, another insurance policy, if he bails out, then you go, phew, good thing, because he would have probably been like, why are you being like this? You're not going to be, I just know, you're 31 years old, you're intelligent, you're not going to be, it's not going to be that awkward. It's going to be weird, but it's not going to be like, you're just like, well, what do I do with my leg? Like, it's not, you know, I just feel like.
Do you masturbate to porn?
To porn? Why'd you add the caveat?
Oh, I don't know.
I do masturbate, not to porn.
Maybe she could try some, watching some porn. I don't know. Masturbate with porn a little bit.
What would that do? It's a great idea, Natasha. Always something I always like to hear, but what would that do?
It would just like, I mean, what does she think is going to happen? Like when I lost my virginity, that I had never seen porn. I don't know. It's just like,
well, I'm sure.
Just get you loose, get you, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I think if you do what Moshe says, it would be interesting to invite him over. And then it's like, if it starts, say, listen, I'm down to do what you said. And he's like, are you sure? You say, yeah. And like, also, if you don't want to tell him, you don't have to.
That's
and
true.
If you do want to tell him, you can't. Like, instead of making a big deal out of it, calling him, making him make, and then finally scheduling a time. I think you schedule the time, have him come over. And if you feel like telling him and it feels right, tell him. But like, again, he's telling you, I want to owe you nothing.
Right.
So you can owe him nothing. And if you feel like saying it because you feel like he might be rough with you or something, you know, but.
I mean, that is a possibility that the way that guy fucks is that he fucks at a level of he's a plus eight fuck, you know, and you're looking for a two, you know, you're looking for a slow two and he's like a fast eight, you know. And so I don't know. There's something tells me if you decide to do this,
Yeah, you could tell him.
Yeah, you don't want some
guy. He's going to get such a boner for you when you tell him that.
You don't want some guy throwing you around trying moves he learned in, like, you know, deep gag or porn. You know, you want somebody that's going to be like, okay, we'll just, you know, be here and we'll make out for a while. You want it to be, like, gentle, I would assume, you know. But yeah. Also, you've got choices. And don't do it. I mean, I'm tempted to say do it just to do it, to get it off your fucking list. But also, if you don't feel like doing it, don't do it just because you think it's weird that you're a virgin. Like, do it because you're like, I want to have sex with someone. I think that's my feeling. Yeah.
And also, like, I do think energetically, because it's on your mind, it is like a weight in a way, the virginity. So it would be nice to get rid of it. And getting rid of it is very easy.
That is very true.
You know, and I think that you have an opportunity. You could try to set the tone for it to happen. I mean, he obviously likes you. He's like, hey, listen, I'm willing to come over. And let's see, like, if it becomes hard to schedule it, then yeah. But if you're like, hey, come over, what he does.
Can I ask you, like, I know we weren't supposed to tell you your last name, so this question might be really uncomfortable for you. Can I ask you, like, a kind of a, I don't know, uncomfortable sexual question?
Sure.
Would you feel comfortable, you masturbate, would you feel comfortable doing that with him there?
Masturbate?
Yeah.
Never thought about it.
Okay, let me just say why I'm saying that before we...
Moshe's trying to get something ready for his masturbation session.
Yeah, I'm just getting really horny right now about this whole situation. So no, actually, there's a method to my madness. What I'm concerned with, I don't know why I'm concerned with it because I, you know, but I am. I'm concerned with you having a pleasurable time, not just having a duty that you've fulfilled because, like, you know, and you're setting yourself up. If you decide to do this, you're setting yourself up for your sexuality. Not that it's that, it's gigantic because you can always reset. Uh-oh. our child just came in. If you could get yourself into a state where you guys have become sexual and you've become in the mood before the actual event occurs, then the most unbelievable thing could happen, which is that you both are no longer a virgin and you found a way to have a good time. Like, I just am worried that you're going to think of it like, okay, my duty's coming. Okay, the duty's here. Okay, the duty's done. It's like, well, who wants that? You know, you're 31. You know, women are supposed to have, like, people are supposed to have sexual pleasure as well as just, like, notching a thing. So I don't know. There's something about that, like, going like, hey, this is what I am. Here's how I want to do it. I want to do this with you. We'll do a little bit of the...
Honey...
You think this is ridiculous?
This is like Burning Man shit. She's like a virgin.
She might need Burning Man shit.
No, she's just trying to get...
I think this is good advice.
I think that... Here's what I would suggest. Don't let go of your power. Like, just because he's the fuck boy, he doesn't want commitment. It's like, okay, well, you're taking this. That's why I like this guy. You're taking it into your own hands. You know, mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be a relationship. It's not, you know, maybe there's like a small chance he gets so hyped up about it, but it's not that. And you know, you
how funny would that be though? If she was like, well, the thing is, I'm a virgin. He's like, oh, I will totally commit to you 100%. I'm done.
No, but I mean, just like not handing over your power. You have a lot of power. And like you're kind of becoming open to maybe giving him some of this. But I do think that, like, just really holding still to that and like having your center, and like, if it doesn't feel right, then don't do it and say, I'm sorry, you know, I guess I was wrong. Or if it does feel right doing it, maybe telling him, maybe not. And, you know, and if it scares him away, then you've got your answer and he was definitely not the person. But just like, mm-hmm. I just want you to keep thinking about your power the whole time that this happens.
I think that's so wise, and I think that it's possible you think about this like you don't have any power because you're this like person who hasn't done this, and he's got the power because he's the experienced guy. But Natasha's right. You're both adult human beings. He's had one experience you haven't, and you're going to try to have or not have this experience together. I'll amend my suggestion, because maybe I was giving a AP calculus suggestion where I should have been doing a pre-algebra suggestion. I would say go through a long period of making out and finding a way to become aroused. That's all I'm saying, is try, find a way to find pleasure in it too.
She is aroused. She wants
all
to fuck
I'm
him.
Saying is, what this virgin cloud, it could be that you just go, okay, get it over with. Don't do it like that. Like, try to like make him do things to you that you like, do things to him that you like. Like, let the experience be long and good, and not just like, I got to get to the main event because then I won't be this anymore. That's what I'm saying.
And I guess the other bit of advice is, maybe don't tell him you're a virgin during the act.
That is definitely true.
I'm just saying, like, as if it was like you were going to tell him and then you didn't. Maybe wait till after, you know? And also, if you bleed and you didn't tell him, maybe just say you're on your period.
Oh, no, just, I think, honestly, what do you think? What would, do you want to tell him? Do you think you would if you did?
So I have been thinking about this a lot, and I think I agree with you, Moshe. It just feels, because it helps me put in between from just like staying a virgin forever or just like ripping off, gritting my teeth. It does feel to me like a happy medium and does give him the opportunity to bail, which I would like to know ahead of time. I think I, even not that I have to owe him to consider his feelings, but if I were him and I slept with someone who afterwards told me they were virgin and that would have been a deal breaker for me, I think I would feel a little bit like, oh, you tricked me.
You think it's a deal breaker? It's not a deal breaker.
Whatever. I'm liking what you're saying, though. What you're saying is right, which is that you the person who wouldn't do it if they knew it isn't the person you want to do it with. That's the wrong guy.
Can we at least agree that she should invite him over and have the conversation
I like that.
Because I think on the phone, it's just a little too, you know, let it be in the moment. Because you're kind, I mean, no offense, but you're using him.
Yeah.
And he's using you. And hopefully it's as clean and safe as possible. And maybe it'll lead to more times and maybe it'll be a fun thing and maybe you're going to get your orgasm on. And
oh,
it's going to be awesome.
And here's something you might not know.
Sit on his face and do a bunch of different stuff.
Whatever you decide to do is not a big deal one way or the other. I just feel like this, like, virginity becomes so big, it becomes like a spiritual state of being. It's like you are a virgin. It's like, no, you're not. You're Elizabeth, who has done 50,000 things, and now you want to try 50,001.
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think that's true, and also very hard to hold on to. But
of course,
I'm taking what you're saying, Natasha, too, about holding the power, because this is like, especially coming from such a strict background that essentially took my power when it came to exploring my sexuality. It's hard to figure out how to hold on to it now. So I'm taking that in, that I'm not like, just because I'm the less experienced one doesn't mean I'm a less powerful one.
And think of like your life now in terms of your sexuality. It's like your sexual journey is now beginning. Your sexual awakening is like about to begin. So this is exciting for you. And this is, and you're ready and you want it. And you're like, you don't believe the way that you were taught to like, that you're going to go to hell or whatever they taught you. And so now it's like, you're open for this new beginning. And that should be a really exciting place. And 31 is not old. You look like you're 16.
Yes. And also I can promise you this, when you're 51 and you've, you know, been married and divorced 4 times, which I can see is going to happen to you, you're not going to look back and go like, that day, nobody looks back at their virginity with anything more than a, yeah, that was awkward. I mean, I promise you.
Yeah, totally.
Or, you know, yeah, that was fun. Or, you know, I promise you that if you do this under your own terms and you decide to do this under your own terms, that in 20 years you'll look back and it will have like, it'll be a P in your experience. You just go, yeah, well, that was the first time I did it. But then I figured all this other cool stuff out. And like what you were saying about having your sexual agency robbed from you, to me, that's the biggest issue with the some of the sexual repression of extreme religiosity, is that it's not just that it promotes purity, but it pathologizes sex so that people don't know how to enjoy it. And it's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be pleasurable.
But I haven't met anyone who enjoyed their first time. I literally started crying because I thought my mom would be mad at me. And then I thought the guy had his pinky finger in me, but it was his penis.
But wait, that is very funny. And that quarterback, I finally feel that I've alphaed him. But here's the great advantage of being 31. The reason almost no one... One of the reasons almost no one enjoys their first time is usually you're so young that you're so uncomfortable in your own skin that you don't even know, you can't even stop to think like, I'm going to have a good time or a bad time. You're just like, I'm just a stupid kid that's like trying to get this over with. But you're an adult. And so you have the power of like a big intellect and a mind that goes, oh, I'm supposed to have fun. I'm supposed to have agency. I'm supposed to be in control. I'm supposed to have power. Like you can decide to make this as pleasurable as it is capable of being for you. And that's an advantage.
And take advantage of this little fuck boy and ask him what he likes. Ask him what he wants you to do. I mean, you can always, guys like that. So you can like, if you feel like inexperienced, you know, all he wants is for you to do what he likes. So ask him, say, you know, if you're in the act and you don't know what to do, be like, does this feel good? Do you want me to grab here? You know, show me.
As corny.
And that doesn't make you seem like a virgin. That's just what guys like.
Yeah. And that's totally true. Guys do definitely like a person saying, what do you want? I will do it. As corny, though, to give yourself some security, insurance, as corny as the idea of a safe word is, it might not be a bad idea for you if you're having this conversation to establish, hey, I'd like to give you a signal if we move past my comfort area. If you're going too hard or too fast, or you want me to do something that I just don't know that I'm ready to do, here's something, you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, you might say 2 Corinthians, just kidding. You wouldn't want to say that, but something, you just say something so that you can like
that
have a time.
Pretty stupid to me.
You think a little, I don't think so. What it seems so possible that a guy that's like a casual sex New York guy could without even knowing it, go past your comfort zone and be in his like pleasure zone. And you're like, now you're in the middle of doing something.
How about you just say stop?
Yeah, you could do that too. But say, I think safe words aren't a terrible idea in this situation. Oh, what if I just say, you know, we just establish something. If it were going too fast, or if I just want to stop, what if you just decide, I don't want to do this in the middle? It'd be nice to have those parameters set up. And so you can ensure yourself the most comfortable and pleasurable time that you can have.
And don't forget when you're phrasing it to him, like, I've talked about what you said. I realize, you know, you're open and, you know, I really do want a relationship, but I actually am a virgin. And I know that sounds weird. I come from a very religious background, but I was wondering, you know, so I don't feel awkward when I meet the man I am going to be with. Would you want to? So then it's like taking a little bit of the pressure off of him. Yeah.
Re-listen to what Natasha just said 10 times before you call this guy if you decide to do it, because that was like perfect. You know, it's like it's sexy, it's powerful, and it's all about you and what and your pleasure. And I think that Natasha nailed it.
All right, well, good luck. I know it's hard. You're gonna do it.
Keep in touch.
You'll be pregnant
in
a year.
No, God forbid.
No, you should get on birth control.
Yeah.
Okay. I sense a sexual awakening in your future.
That's what's so cool. It's like now you get to go into your sexual infancy as an adult. So you can go, man, what do I want to try next?
Now, what I would do, I would even add in like, and I met some guys that I'm into, but you know, I'm like, I want to like
just
practice having sex.
I met a lot of guys that are way hotter than you and I don't want to waste my virginity on them. So yeah, something like
that. But
that's
the attitude. That's what you want to be thinking in your head.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck.
Good luck. Thank you for trusting us.
Thank you so much, guys.
With a vulnerable conversation. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're awesome. Goodbye.
You too. Bye.
Moshe's feeling himself. He wants to go into therapy now.
Well, no. I just, I feel strongly about that. And I'll tell you why. I should have told her this, but I felt like I was talking too much. But I feel strongly about it because... I felt strongly about it, and I feel strongly about it because my mom, what she gave me growing up was the opposite of what she got. It was like the too much sex positivity, and I was always embarrassed, and I was always like, please, mom, stop talking to me about sex and all that stuff. But now that I'm a grown-up, I realize I don't have any I don't think I have really any sexual hang-ups. I don't have any like, oh, I feel dirty. I've never felt dirty. Well, that's not quite true, but I've almost never felt dirty about anything sexual. I've never felt guilty about masturbating or any of that. I just didn't get that. And I feel like it's a gift that my mom gave me, you know?
A sexual gift.
It is, in a way. She allowed me a playing field with sexuality where I didn't have to have it like ruled by some sort of bizarre external force of like finger wagging. And nobody wants that.
Or finger banging.
I got finger banging, not finger wagging.
All right. Well, listen, if you have a secret, give us a call. 213-222-8608. Or if you need advice, maybe you're a virgin. Send us an email at endlesshoneymoonpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you can be a part of our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/endlesshoneymoon and join our community where you can meet like-minded virgins to pop each other's cherries too.
Also, check us out on YouTube. Subscribe
Natasha,
to our channel.
Farewell, and I love you.
Farewell. I love you too.